Superhuman Channel, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and listen to classic episodes of Superhuman Radio. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Listen Now button.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back. The Superhuman Radio studio is a standing friendly workspace. So if you are listening to the show at work, stand up, wave to your coworkers. Don't sit all day. We know the impact of that sort of stuff. So, okay, we have a great show planned. We were supposed to have Dr. James O'Keefe on last week, but he had some issues at the clinic and had to take care of patients, and that takes precedence over an interview. So he is on during the first hour today, and we're going to talk about, is your style of training a fast track to the grave? This plays into this whole discussion that we've been exploring over the past numerous months about what is the end point? Do you think about what the end point of your training is? Is it designed to add to strength, health, and longevity, or is it designed to grind you up into a mass of pulp? And you can get to either one of those, but you have to make a choice. Then later in the show, we will be joined by Paul Jaminet. His book has finally been released, The Perfect Health Diet, which focuses on the value and benefits of the paleo style of eating, and we'll be exploring that a little bit later in the show. But let's go ahead and get started. How you doing, Dr. O'Keefe?
Doing great, Carl.
Thanks for joining us today. Okay, so what, first of all, you are a cardiologist, correct?
Yes.
Okay. What first made you think about this notion that, a training is good, but some training is bad?
Well, Carl, maybe I'll back up a little bit. So I decided I want to be a cardiologist. I probably was like 13 or 14, and I'm not even exactly sure how I got that in my head, but I think it had something to do with the fact that I love to exercise. I always have. I'm sort of a hyperactive guy, and I love to exercise, and I was fascinated by the heart. And so I not only knew I wanted to be a doctor, but I wanted to be a cardiologist. And so I've been exercising a lot my whole life, running, triathlon, strength training, swimming, you name it, mountain climbing. I love to exercise. It's how I relax. It keeps me happy and focused, and I sleep better. And like a lot of people, you kind of get addicted to exercise. I mean, so it comes naturally to me. And as a cardiologist, I mean, there's really nothing that a person could do to sort of improve long-term health and well-being and longevity than exercise.
Right.
But it turns out, like anything else, and I experienced this myself, once I got into my 50s, I started noticing, when I pushed it too hard, too long, raced too often, I didn't feel right. My heart started being a little irritable, and I just, didn't recover as quickly. And I thought, maybe I'm overdoing this. Maybe more isn't better. Maybe it's not best to hammer it all the time. So I started, I do a lot of research and writing, and I've cardiovascular fellows, and I know a lot of really smart people from around the country, the cardiology community, or internationally, actually. And so we started looking into this a few years ago, and there's a very compelling, undeniable story developing that, yeah, you can overdo exercise. Duh, right? You can overdo anything. We call it the U-curves of life, right? It's sleep, exercise, eating. There's a guy named Hippocrates is the father of medicine, and 2,500 years ago, he said, if we could prescribe the right amount of nourishment and the right amount of exercise, not too much and not too little, it would be the surest way to health. I mean, he figured out 2,500 years ago, you can overdo exercise, and you sure can. So, and actually, here's the thing. I'm not telling people, if you want to train for the Olympics or you want to, be winning, races, all that kind of stuff, it's okay when you're 20 or 30 or 15, but when you get to be 45 or 50, you have to realize your body doesn't recover like it used to, and you have to be smarter. And you alluded to this, Carl, earlier at the beginning of the show, is that that you have to decide what your goals are. Because if your goals are you want to be winning your age group, or you want to be doing lifting heavier than anybody else in the gym and you're 55, well, you can do that. But just understand that that's not ideal. Don't kid yourself. It's not that, you know, the strongest person wins the prize for living the longest, or the one who's running the marathons latest in their life is going to, you know, it's not like that.
Okay.
It turns out that the goals for health and longevity when it comes to exercise in middle age and beyond have to be different than the goals for maximum performance, say, in the short term.
Now, let's talk about something first. We have to kind of separate the wheat from the chaff here for a second. When we talk about aging, and we talk about, I'm 54 years old, and I have an aspiration to compete in a powerlifting event sometime next year, and I have been hobbled by some injuries that I feel that I can get over. But when we talk about aging, can't some of those issues with aging at best be eliminated, and at worst be attenuated through certain sensible modalities such as hormone replacement therapy and nutrition? And nutrition is a big one here, because I'm convinced that we really will never unlock completely, until metabolomics really gets deeper into their science, the real value of nutrition and its effect on the etiology of so many different diseases.
Well, there's no question about that I'm not saying you can't go hard and compete and try to be your best, but I'm just saying that, and it really helps, good nutrition is actually probably even more important than exercise. Because
what about the hormonal faction too? What about, we have so many people, like I'm on HRT since 2007. What about those people? Are we not sending these chemical messages to our body that it's still youthful, it's still thriving, repair, repair, repair?
That's true too. It helps to keep your hormones in youthful ranges, but still, there is an element, that, you know, we're just not quite as resilient.
Mm-hmm.
And so my point is, if you pretend like you're 25 when you're 54, you're gonna get into trouble.
Yes, I agree.
So you just have to, you have to be realistic about what you demand out of your body. I'm all for trying to be the best you can be, but understand, as you get older, you will last longer if you use some common sense.
Right. And you know, this,
we all know what we're talking about. It's hard to define these things exactly, but you know when you've overdone it. And, you know, then you have to kind of back off, and you got to realize that's not good. Like I have a friend who's going out to do a full distance triathlon. You know, it's like 12, 13, 14 hours of intense, continuous exercise.
How old is he?
You know, he's about 45.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, just have no delusions that what you're doing is any way good for your health.
Yes.
Okay, this is going to be corrosive to your health. It's going to take you a while to get over it. This is like climbing Mount Everest. This is something you do for bragging rights or to prove yourself or whatever. But this is not a healthy pattern to settle into. Okay?
And I agree.
You're not going to climb Mount Everest once a month, right? You know, that's stupid.
Right.
Why are you doing that? So you got to ask yourself, why are you doing this? If you're doing it because that's your raison d'etre, that's what makes you tick, well, okay, you know, it's safer than doing cocaine or jumping off of antennas with a parachute or something.
Yeah, right, right.
It's not ideal.
Yeah, no, I think that's an important thing here. When we talk about exercise, and somehow it becomes convoluted by these extreme forms of assessing one's will. Because let's face it, when a marathoner runs a marathon and their body is aching, their kidneys are embargoing fluid, and everything else that's going wrong with the body is going wrong, and they push through, this is nothing more than an exercise of sheer will to ignore and overcome signals from the body that it does not want to do this. And when you really strip that away and realize it, then you have to say to yourself, okay, maybe I want to be a marathoner because I want to try it. But do not try to indulge in the idea that this is somehow healthy for you. And we're going to take a break, and we're going to get deeper into this discussion because you have a TED Talk called Run for Your Life at a Comfortable Pace and Not Too Far that's available on YouTube under that specific heading for those who want to check it out. We're talking with Dr. James O'Keefe. We're going to be talking more about this very important topic. You must decide what the end point of your training is. If it's to kill yourself, then go on and do it. But if it's to enhance longevity, grinding yourself up into a pulp is not the way to do that. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Tag team, back again. Check it to wreck it. Let's begin. Party on, party people. Let me hear some noise. DC's in the house.
It's estimated that the majority of multivitamins simply get flushed down the toilet due to poor digestibility. Well, that's all changed thanks to Age Force. Now you can get 16 of the most important essential vitamins combined with 6 of the most effective antioxidants directly into your bloodstream with the new Age Force 8-hour delivery multivitamin patch. And for a limited time, get a buy one, get one free on this groundbreaking new patch. This patch is sure to change the way people take their vitamins. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force multivitamin patch banner ad today.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Never before in the history of muscle gauge nutrition have they ever been so generous. And this is only available to the Superhuman Nation. Now get 25% off any order when you use the coupon SUPER. Save on sports performance supplements like creatine, BCAAs, Huge Impact, and their flagship product, Whey Isolate. Save 25% off weight loss products like Trim Down Advance or Gage Lean MRP. Or check out their line of multivitamins formulated for men and women. Whatever you want, Muscle Gauge has it. Go to MGNstore.com and use the coupon code SUPER today.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest Protein Bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest Bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest Bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
You already know about Titan Organics virgin coconut oil and that Carl says it's the best in the world. Titan has raw organic honey from the Brazilian rainforest produced under sustainable and environmentally conscious conditions. It's a creamy, non-filtered, rare honey. Or check out their 100% organic raw agave nectar from the lush, pristine farms in Tequila, Mexico. A naturally low glycemic sweetener. You can trust Titan Organics to provide the best raw products found anywhere. Go to superhumanradio.com and save 15% off any purchase when you use the coupon code Titan15. That's TITAN15.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Out in the street, they call it murder. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. James O'Keefe. Dr. O'Keefe has published a couple books, one that is coming out in about a month, correct? That's called Let Me Tell You a Story. Can you just talk about that real brief before we get into the discussion, back into the discussion?
Sure. Yeah, my wife is a registered dietitian, and she and I have written a previous book as well called Forever Young, Diet and Lifestyle. This book, Let Me Tell You a Story, the subtitle is Real Life Stories That Will Inspire You to Achieve Health, Happiness, and a Sexy Waist. So It's sort of told in story form of, you know, people we know and love, patients, clients, sort of put into the context of modern cutting-edge science.
People, interesting. Yeah. And when will it be available in about a month, you said?
Yeah, about a month.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And people
we learn best in the form of stories, and so this will kind of teach you how to eat right and stay relaxed and take the right supplements and, you know, those a lot of about exercise and diet.
Okay, getting back into exercise for a second. Now, obviously, there seems to be, and at least in my mind, some contradiction in what we think we know and what we hope to know when it comes to exercise's effect on the heart. We know that distance runners develop all sorts of abnormalities, especially things like a lone atrial fibrillation from their excessive running, correct?
Yeah. But okay, it's important to distinguish, Carl, that, you know, we're really designed. I'm a big fan of channeling our ancient ancestors and understanding the milieu that we're adapted for environmentally, you know, through evolution.
Yes.
And that we were very active. We were picking things up. We were carrying babies and logs and stones and game, and we were climbing and lifting and walking, a lot of walking, like 3 to 10 miles a day, and some intermittent sprinting. But we weren't designed to run 26 miles.
Exactly. Exactly.
Never, under any circumstance, would you run 26
miles
at a
time? Well, maybe in a lifetime, maybe there was a mass exodus out of an area and someone would run.
No, they still wouldn't have ran for three, four hours at a time.
Well, that's what I was going to say. They would have ran for an hour, maybe sat down, and then started again. But exactly.
Yeah. So, but it's also important to point out that in these studies that are being published in the near future that we've been, you know, releasing some preliminary information about, which will change, I've been getting, like, seriously, almost death threats from ultra-marathoners and things like that. I said, these days when I show up at a race, I have to show up with a Kevlar bulletproof vest and one of those glasses, nose, mustache disguise, you know,
right.
I'm definitely a persona non grata. But the point we're trying to make is that moderate exercise is the best thing you can do. And in fact, in these studies, they show that, and these are big studies, like 50,000 people followed 20 years and 20,000 people followed in two different continents, one in Denmark and one here in America, that the people who were running between 5 and 19 miles a week had between a 25 and a 44% reduction in mortality during the long-term during like 20 years follow-up. So running moderate amounts, like 2 or 3 miles, 3 or 4 times a week, is really among the best things you can do for you. It's just that when you get above 20 or 25 miles a week, you lose the benefit, okay? It's not so much that it's going to kill you, but you're not going to get the mortality benefit. You're kind of demanding things from your heart that it's not really designed to do.
Well, now let's stay with this, the heart, because you are a cardiologist. In a very good book that I read quite some time ago called Heart Failure, Molecules, Mechanisms, and Therapeutic Targets, it was published by Novartis. And it's an assembly of studies and information from talks that doctors had given about these studies, and their colleagues have asked questions. It's a very, very good book. One of the things that I found in there that I was really found remarkable was that in one study, and obviously this is a rodent study, so, you know, not everything that happens in rodents translates to humans, but in this one rodent study, they took rats and they caused the pathology by causing a pressure in the heart by clamping, I guess, the aorta. And this caused the heart to develop pathologies that included hypertrophy and so on and so forth. They then took these rats and dropped them in pools of water for, I think, 4 hours a day, and cause what they considered chronic exercise. And over the period of time, the pathologies turned into physiological changes. So these bad things that happened to the heart were reversed by chronic exercise. And they cited that neonatal genes were switched on through this process of chronic exercise. So what would you say to that in the face of what we know that, you know, running too far is not healthy for you? What happened in those rats?
Well, I'd have to look at that study, and there's a lot to be said that exercise is a great anecdote, a great antidote, a great cure for a lot of the hassles and stresses that we face in modern life. You know, our stress hormones go up, like catecholamines and cortisol, and our relaxation response goes down, and regular exercise will restore that balance. It'll burn off those stress chemicals, and so there's a lot to be said for that. I'm all for that. Speaking of rodent studies, there was also a really cool rodent study where they ran these mice. This was just published in the last year or two. Dr. Benito and colleagues ran these white mice every day to exhaustion for four months, and sure enough, they found these changes in the heart muscle that we see in some of the extreme endurance athletes. And but the cool thing was, I mean, they get some fibrosis scattered through the heart. The heart gets irritable. You know, these kinds of things. When they took them off the Iron Mouse training regimen and got them back to just normal mouse activity, those changes melted away. The heart came back to normal. So the heart is a very resilient organ, and when we treat it right, which includes regular exercise, which includes not only aerobic exercise but strength training exercises, and which I know you and your listeners are big fans of.
Yes, and there are completely different set of circumstances that occur for those of us who undergo very, very heavy weight loads, you know, the hemodynamic changes of the heart, the back pressure, if you will, the Valsalva. I mean, blood pressures can reach rates that if most people knew what their blood pressure was spiking up to as they're under that 450-pound squat, they would think twice about squatting. What effects do those types of movements have on the heart as far as developing pathological changes?
Well, certainly with very strenuous weightlifting, the blood pressure, especially the top number, the systolic blood pressure, goes up pretty dramatically. It can get above, it can get to 300, which is, like you say, just the kind of thing you just makes a cardiologist's eyes pop out when you see things like that. But and the reality is strength training is really great for maintaining functional fitness, preventing falls, keeping your bones and muscles strong. But again, I think, and to be honest, this is intuition. I don't have studies yet. I mean, there have not been published that I'm aware of showing chronic health problems related to long-term strength training. We do see some hypertrophy. The left ventricular wall can thicken up, but that has been shown to come back down to normal when you stop the really heavy training. But again, common sense says that, you know, when you kind of get into middle age and beyond, you probably ought to be, you know, a little more reasonable about what you're demanding out of your body. So I would say, I tell my patients, you know, you should try to lift something that you can do at least 5 times. If you can do it much more than 10 or 15 times, it's not heavy enough. If you can't do it 5 times, it's probably a little too heavy for you.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So let's talk more about the concept of these long distance runners for a moment, which obviously is a lot more people out there who are using extreme forms of cardiovascular training than there are that are using extreme forms of resistance training. So I feel like this is an important discussion because I think a lot of people think, you know, I'm going to put in 15 miles a week because I want to lose weight or whatever the case may be. What are some of the changes that you see in the heart in these extreme distance runners?
Well, so the guy who ran the first marathon, this guy named Pheidippides, and he was a courier, a professional runner who ran messages around, you know, and back in Greece, back 2,500 years ago in Hippocrates' day, probably where he got that notion that extreme exercise can cause trouble. Anyway, this guy, Pheidippides, was a 40-year-old. He'd been doing it for 20 years, and he ran this message at the end of a battle in marathon back into Greece, and he had run 150 miles the 2 days before. You know, 75 miles a day for 2 days, you know. And he, the third day he ran this 26-mile run from Marathon back into Athens to proclaim the news that they had won. And he said, victory's ours, and keeled over and died. So, you know.
Really?
In 1896, they had a distance race at the first modern Olympics to commemorate that. They called it the Marathon. And it's gotten popular. And the problem is, There's this tendency to gravitate towards the extremes in America. So in the last 30 years, while obesity has tripled in America, on one end everybody is being sedentary, but on the other hand, the number of people completing a marathon has gone up 20-fold. You know, people think that, you know, if some is good, more is better. Then that's not true. So when these people that train chronically for marathons, they can get this scarring in their atria, which leads to the atrial fibrillation that you mentioned, that's 5 to 8 times more common. And I see all sorts of athletes now, former world champions, who are still hammering away at age 50 and 55. And you see among the best athletes in the world. And some of them are holding up really well. But a lot of them end up with this irritable heart called atrial fibrillation, and it's really a common thing. And it's actually just a sort of a wave that's kind of crashing right now because, you know, there's been no generation that's ever done this, you know, with large numbers of people pushing it really hard in chronic endurance training, you know, well into middle age and beyond.
So. Yeah, because it started back in the 70s when we were kids, right? I mean, I remember running. I remember I lived in New York. I ran 2 miles to Forest Park, and then I ran 5 miles around Forest Park, and then I ran 2 miles back home again. And
wow.
I did that 4 or 5 times a week, and I thought I was doing great things for myself. And, you know, it's funny how everything we think is right today turns out to be wrong tomorrow. And that's why
keep an open mind.
Yeah, people need to be a little bit more moderate. And that's what I think the real message has to be here. We're talking with Dr. James O'Keefe. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rubbed Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
BioAdvantex Pharmaceuticals produces the highest quality pharmaceutical grade N-acetylcysteine in an advanced effervescent delivery system. NAC has been clinically shown to improve performance, reduce fatigue, and increase power output. NAC is ideal for the high-intensity interval training athlete as it is shown to reduce respiratory fatigue. BioAdvantex PharmaNac has the highest bioavailability of any supplement in its class. Buy one, get one free of PharmaNac when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the PharmaNac banner. Ad. PharmaNac, there's nothing else like it.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Dr. James O'Keefe. He's a cardiologist, but I'll tell you something else. He's one of us. He believes in the hunter-gatherer lifestyle. And I want to talk a little bit about that for just a moment. One of the things that I've been discussing lately amongst my close circle of friends and even alluded to on the show a couple times, and we're actually preparing to do some shows about this, is has modernization and industrialization actually backfired on us? And you know, my summation of this, Dr. O'Keefe, is at one time we were 80% self-sustaining. We made our own food, our own furniture, and anything we couldn't get, that other 20% we would trade for. If we had a lamb, we'd trade it for wheat or whatever. And then we changed into this new paradigm where we went to work to get these pieces of paper to then trade for all the things that we made on our own. And the greatest impact that has had is on our ability to maintain this more hunter-gatherer lifestyle that we have evolved under. And hence, we now are doing shows about, you know, people who go to the gym or run in the morning and then sit at a desk for 5 hours, completely negate the beneficial effects of their exercise routine. And if anything, actually go backwards into switching genes on that tell the body that it needs to age faster. What are your thoughts on that, being that I know that you are a big proponent of the hunter-gatherer lifestyle?
Yeah, Carl, we've written a lot of papers and done a lot of research on this, and actually one of my good friends is really the father of the paleo movement, Lauren Cordain. We've written several papers together, including one called Organic Fitness, How to Achieve Hunter-Gatherer Fitness in the 21st Century, and How to Eat Like a Hunter-Gatherer. So we have a lot of ideas about this. So I think it's important to keep in mind, Carl, that it's nice to sort of you know, kind of imagine this nostalgic, wonderful, sort of idyllic, you know, hunter-gatherer. I mean, but this was a tough lifestyle. You know, nobody wants to go back to be out there on the land and exposed to, and it was extremely violent. You know, 35% of males died from violence, from, you know, contact with other, you know, neighboring tribes. So, you know, we're way better off, okay, in our modern world, even though we all work in this little niche and we work behind a desk, all that kind of stuff. But my point is, and this is my opinion, okay, that, you know, what I just said. I think that, you know, there's never been a better time to be a human alive, and a better place for that matter than America in the 21st century. It's like we have so much options for comfort and entertainment and, you know, enjoyment and travel and interaction. But we have to keep in mind that we are still designed for that hunter-gatherer niche, okay? We are still designed to be walking around all day carrying stuff, eating wild, whole, natural foods, you know, not eating processed food, getting our sleep, having sex, you know, that kind of life, drinking water. So you can do that. You can take the best of both worlds.
Yes.
You can enjoy the modern fruits, but you have to, like you said, get up from your desk, go for a walk. When you're talking on the phone, you know, go outside and stroll around, get some sunshine, do some weightlifting. You know, I think if you do that, you get the best worlds. You know, those people, average life expectancy was like 35 because they all died from infection and trauma and starvation and, you know, God knows what, you know, sort of things. And these days, most of us, you're paying attention. You ought to live to be 85 or 90, maybe 100. And here's the important part. If you do what we're talking about, what you and I are talking about, you'll be enjoying life.
Yes.
You'll be having fun when you're that age. You'll be
focus on
sex.
The
you'll
focus on the
you'll
journey. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You know.
You want a sustainable lifestyle, and so there is no getting around the fact that we are genetically adapted to eat whole natural foods like vegetables and fruits and nuts and berries and venison and fish and egg whites and that kind of
and
stuff.
And grass fed beef. You know, beef
yeah,
gets a bad rap.
Beef, right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you
yep.
know, and, yep. And just for the
and
sake
don't
of,
burn it. You can't, don't burn it, because that's where the carcinogens come from.
Well, and because it produces advanced glycation end products, people don't realize
right.
that, you know, we talk about AGEs in the diabetic disease state. Well, guess what? You can increase AGE intake by burning things and then eating them, because that's what they are. But,
yeah, and processed food and overcooked foods. People ask me, they say, gee, I'm surprised, Dr. O'Keefe, that, you know, as a cardiologist, you eat red meat. I say, you know, I'm cool with red meat as long as it's very lean and raw. Well, maybe not raw, but you
rare.
Know what
no,
I mean.
No. Listen.
Not well cooked.
Yes.
Not browned or certainly not blackened.
Okay, Dr. Cordain.
And grass-fed.
Yeah, yeah, and that's an important. Dr. Cordain has been on this show numerous times, as has his mentor, Boyd Eaton. We've been talking about paleo styles of nutrition for about 8 years now. And with that being said, the problem, that I find, and I had this discussion with Leslie Aiello from, the Wenner Gren Foundation one day, and that is the problem is that, so much of our nutrition has become bad just because of the industrialization of producing it. So we talk about red meat. You know, beef is not bad. When you eat grass-fed, grass-finished beef, it has the same omega-3 to omega-6 ratio as salmon. Everybody, you know, applauds salmon. You know, oh, well, salmon is so good for you. Well, beef could be good for you, too, if it wasn't raised in a CAFO eating corn and soy, which it was never designed to eat. And so part of my journey is, and the audience, we all adhere to this, is, you know, working with sustainable food production by patronizing local family farms and getting the kind of food that our ancestors ate. It's not just about what the food is today, but it's what the food was back then. And that leads me to my next question. You come from a long line of physician. Your great-granddad was considered a pioneer in medicine at one point in time. Do you know anything about the types of diseases that they were treating back then?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. What yeah. did we see?
100 years ago, when my great grandfather was at this time of the year up in North Dakota near the Canadian border, North Dakota, Minnesota, he'd go out on house calls routinely on a horse-drawn sleigh, and he'd carry a little black bag with him and, you know, saw off amputate gangrenous limbs and help deliver babies that weren't, you know, that were stuck and and whatnot. But the number one cause of disease was pneumonia. Number two was tuberculosis. Number three was infectious dysentery, diarrhea.
So they were all infectious diseases. Right.
All infectious diseases.
Now,
by the way, they had no antibiotics. You know, talk about occupational hazards, right?
Right.
It's like extremely dangerous. But in any event.
I want to invoke the name of Dr. Paul Dudley White for a moment, who was one of the founders of the American Heart Association and the man responsible for bringing the EKG machine to the United States. In the 1930s, he wrote a position paper, and he said, avoid these new man-made oils. You know, he was talking about Crisco, actually, and avoid vegetable oils. Return to a diet high in animal fats, because don't forget, animals had not been changed yet through their diet. He said, return to tallow, return to butter, return to these types of fats, because it is the man-made oils in combination with the increase in sugar. And when he wrote this paper, we're talking about 30 pounds per person a year. Today, it's like, I think, 120 pounds per person per year. He said, this is the reason for heart disease. And then he went on to say that in his time in school, as an intern and in private practice, he had only encountered one myocardial infarction up until 1910. And then within 1910 to the 30s, when he wrote this paper, the rate of myocardial infarction had tripled. And he pointed to these nutritional changes in the landscape. So does that coincide with what your great granddad was seeing? Were people dying of heart attacks back then, Dr. O'Keefe?
No. Not 100 years ago. That really is a coronary disease really came on with, you know, the processed grains, the white flour, the processed foods, and the wide availability of labor-saving devices so that, you know, you're driving cars. You know, those people riding horses and using hand tools and building their own houses and all that stuff. So it's really a combination of stuff. But you're right. I think that processed grains and sugar are the chief evil components of the diet. I tell people, nothing with added sugar, nothing with artificial sweeteners. And really on the grains, you probably ought not eat anything but quinoa, steel-cut oats, wild rice, and pearled barley. And even then, you know, like a half
limited.
A cup a day for most people.
Yes, and that's another thing. Serving sizes are really quite relative to this whole discussion. So let's get back to one other thing here. Let's talk about hydration for a moment, especially as it pertains to the changes in blood viscosity and the potential for sudden death, especially in athletes we're talking about here. How important is that? Because there's a tug of war going on right now. There are people out there saying that that runners and extreme athletes should not be drinking a lot of water, because basically what they're doing is the kidneys start to embargo the fluid, and they change the electrolyte values in the body, which could lead to myocardial infarction. But then there's others out there who say, well, look, the blood viscosity changes if you don't have enough fluid, and that can lead to sudden death. Where do you line up on this discussion?
Well, this is the same song, different verse, moderation, right? You can't be out there exercising hard and not hydrating. But you don't need to be, you know, taking in a liter every, you know, every, say, water stop on a marathon. These people get hyponatremia and can get in serious trouble. So, yeah, you know, to make sure you hydrate. If you're exercising hard, you need to be drinking water, but you don't need to be, you know, forcing it just down massive quantities. And in general, what we think is really important is that most of your nutrition should come from food. Most of your calories, your drinks, your beverages ought to be mostly non-caloric. Things like water, sparkling water is actually a really great thing. Get like sparkling water that just has CO2 injected into it, natural flavors.
Seltzer.
No artificial sweeteners.
Seltzer, right. Not mineral water, seltzer.
Yeah, seltzer has a little sodium in it, but you can just get plain sparkling water that is nothing but injected with CO2 bubbles and natural flavor, and it's delicious. I mean, the kind that we like in the Midwest here, my family goes through about a case of this a week, is LaCroix. But yeah, Canada Dry makes a great seltzer, and these are wonderful drinks. Coffee and tea turn out to be heart healthy, turn out to be really good for you. They're loaded with antioxidants. And caffeine in moderation is actually good for your brain. It helps to prevent neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease and probably diabetes too. So those kind of beverages that basically don't have many calories in them, I think whey protein and, you know, like my favorite calcium source is actually coconut milk, unsweetened coconut milk, and sometimes would whey protein into it after a workout. It's a great replacement drink that's low in calories, totally loaded with all sorts of good stuff.
Yeah, no, that makes a great point. All right, let's take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap up the interview. We're talking with Dr. James O'Keefe, and I want to get back on the subject here when we come back about making a choice on your training style. What is your end point of your training, and then sticking to that? Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today. For the first time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. IntuBurn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, IntuBurn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin-mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta-adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, IntuBurn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now. If you want to build muscle and burn fat, if you want to transform your body, your health, and fitness, then your goal should be to get a copy of The Blueprint from Rob Ragish. Learn what the Blueprint Army already knows. There is no faster way to change the way you look and feel than by using The Blueprint. And now, when you order The Blueprint, you will also get absolutely free the Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout Seminar. That's a $20 value, absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Blueprint banner ad today. It's estimated that the majority of multivitamins simply get flushed down the toilet due to poor digestibility. Well, that's all changed thanks to Age Force. Now you can get 16 of the most important essential vitamins combined with 6 of the most effective antioxidants directly into your bloodstream with the new Age Force 8-hour delivery multivitamin patch. And for a limited time, get a buy one, get one free on this groundbreaking new patch. This patch is sure to change the way people take their vitamins. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force multivitamin patch banner ad today. People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only 3 ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
You and I, we may look the same, but we are very far apart.
Later in the show, we'll be talking with Paul Jaminet about his new book, The Perfect Health Diet. Paul also has a very, very popular blog that focuses on paleo nutrition called PerfectHealthDiet.com. He'll be joining us shortly. Right now, we're talking with Dr. James O'Keefe and getting back on the subject at hand. So, Dr. O'Keefe, what do you say to those of us who tend to not be doing the right thing for ourselves? I mean, I'm guilty of this, Dr. O'Keefe. I tend to... And I don't know if it's ego-driven or there's some mechanism in me that when I start training, like I took a month off because I was actually guilty of something you said at the beginning of the show. I forgot I was 54. And I started to really train heavier and heavier and pushed myself into some zones that even a young athlete wouldn't do. And I guess I'm trying to prove that I'm not old. You think that's what it is? Maybe are we older guys and gals more guilty of this because we want to prove that we're not susceptible to aging?
Yeah, Carl, I think that's probably part of it. You want to sort of, you want to kind of believe that that time doesn't sort of pertain to us. But and part of it is ego, part of it's testosterone, part of it's, you know, it's kind of a youth-oriented, youth-worshipping sort of culture that we live in, and so we sort of tend to be, you know, pushing it. And I mean, some of us, right? And but the point is that the way you need to think about this is that if you want to stay as young as you can, as long as you can, or somebody told me this phrase, you want to die young as late as possible.
Huh,
right?
I like that. Yeah.
If that's your goal, to die young as late as possible, then you gotta realize that hammering away is not the way to do it. It's important to do some high-intensity interval stuff. I'm a big believer in high-intensity intervals maybe once or twice a week, whether that's strength training or CrossFit. I love CrossFit. I have a lot of friends who do CrossFit. We go out and flip tires and do kettlebells and push the sled around and, you know, jump over barriers, all kinds of stuff. And it's really fun. But then, you know, I've learned that you gotta take some, you know, and then just go for a light jog the next day. Do some yoga. I love doing yoga now. I never used to do that. I thought that was a waste of time. But you gotta realize that more is not always better. And as you get into middle age, say 40, 45 and beyond, it's especially important. It's okay to do the high intensity interval stuff, but be moderate about it. Make sure you get your rest, good nutrition, and in that way you'll be able to do everything you want to do for, you know, decades and decades.
Is there a confluence? Is there a way to combine the path to optimal fitness and optimal health? Or do you think that you have to break with one in order to choose the other?
Well, they're two separate goals and two separate activity patterns. Like I say, if your goal, and these endurance athletes, like I have a good friend, Megan, in New York City, she's 31, she's a female professional triathlete, one of the best in the country. Last year she did 10 triathlons, most of them middle distance or longer.
Wow.
And she won half of them, the other half she collapsed, generally near the finish line from hyperthermia. I said, Meg, if your goal is to make the Olympic team for 2016, keep it up, you know, maybe even up your game a little bit. But if your goal is to be alive and well and enjoying the 2052 Olympics 40 years from now, you need to back it way off, okay? You need to start paying attention to letting your body heal, giving it exercise, understanding that the benefits of exercise are best conferred at moderate doses. And if you want to do some high-intensity stuff, fine, but just, you know, understand that especially once you get into middle age, your body will, you know, can have permanent damage from excessively overdoing it for long periods of time. So, yeah, you know, you can still have fun with your buddies and go hard and that kind of thing, but understand that you have to use common sense and don't pretend that you're 25.
Yeah, no, that's I think that's what speaks to what I was saying. I think that we have to, you know,
sorry for interrupting, but sometimes, you know, when you're hanging around, and I do this all the time, hang around with younger people and keep up with them on the bike or the weights or whatever, you know, it's like you tend to push yourself too hard. And so sometimes people get in running clubs and it's kind of like, you know, bragging rights, and they say, oh God, I'm running 50 miles a week. What are you running? You know, so you have to bring it, you know, and you're thinking that if you're not running 8 miles a day, don't bother.
My problem is me, Dr. O'Keefe. If I would train, I trained with two young guys the other day because I wanted to use the machines that they happen to be using. I happen to be following them. So I said, hey, can I work in with them? It was a young guy named Ray and a young guy named Lucas. If I would have trained at their pace and if I would have trained with their weight, I would have gone a lot easier than what I pushed myself to. My problem is I'm my own worst enemy. I mean, maybe it's moderate obsessive compulsive disorder that is showing itself in a different way. Instead of me having to count to 15 every time I touch a doorknob, when I get into the gym, I have to thrash myself. And it's a learning experience for me. It's really something that I have to make a conscious effort to say, no, I'm just going to do this today, even though all of a sudden I planned on just doing this today. But once I'm here, I'm like, no, I'm going to step it up. I'm going to really do this today. And it's really a conscious effort on my part to just stick to the program, stick to the prescription, which leads me to the.
Carl, the changes that happen to you when you're exercising are like cocaine. They are, you know, they increases your dopamine. It increases some of the other feel good neurotransmitters. And so, you know, there is a very real phenomenon when you get into exercise hard, more feels better, and you have to keep pushing it harder and harder. But you have to be smart about it. We have to understand, well, when we know better, we do better. And so, like, I'm like that too. I used to think that I need to go out and just, you know, run 6 minute miles. And, you know, and now I go out and actually it's kind of liberating. You know, you kind of realize today I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to go swim. I'm going to roll over my back and do some backstrokes. I'm doing an outdoor pool. I'm watching the birds sail overhead. And, you know, and I get out a half an hour later and I feel very zen-like. I can tell that this is good for my heart. It's okay not to hammer it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you get your exercise. It's relaxing. It's sort of, not only is it invigorating, but it also, you know, you can feel that it doesn't necessarily have to beat you up in order to get you the benefits.
No, I agree 100%, and I'm starting to ease into that as well. Okay, so in summary, while we can't do this for resistance training because not enough research has been looked at, from the standpoint of cardiovascular training, your prescription is do 30 minutes a day a few times a week, and that is adequate for cardiovascular health. And what is the end point? Where is it like start getting bad for you?
So there's dose-dependent benefits of vigorous exercise up to about 45 minutes a day, 40 or 45 minutes a day. After that, in other words, if you're running or biking hard or swimming hard or doing sustained aerobic exercise more than 45 minutes, you're doing it for some reason other than health.
Okay.
And your atrial fibrillation rate starts going up after about 40 minutes a day. So I would tell people if they really want to, you know, run longer than that or cycle longer than that, circle back to the gym or home and do some yoga, do some strength training, that sort of thing. Like personally, when I run now, I don't run more than 3 miles. And sometimes I do high intensity interval sprints. But most of the time when I run, I jog. I take my two dogs along. You know, we stop and chat with people a few times. I'm much less intense about it.
And the atrial fib that is developed in these types of chronic exercise, situations, is that reversible when the person backs off or is that you're stuck with that
so,
forever?
So, yeah, we don't know that. I can tell you from anecdotal experience of a lot of patients of mine, that, yeah, people tend to do better with that. Now, some of this stuff is fibrosis that's scarring in there, and it's hard for me to imagine that all goes away. In those iron mice, it did, but that was only after 4 months. In humans, I don't know, but I can tell you that the heart is a very resilient, forgiving organ. And in my experience, when people, settle back into a more sustainable, gentle, sort of regimen of some high intensity interval stuff, but more moderate, they do better. The atrial fibrillation is less of a problem. You know, their heart's less irritable. They feel better. They look better.
That study that I was talking about before, where the rats were forced to exercise chronically, the fibrotic tissue in their heart rearranged when it changed from a pathology to a physiology. It was amazing to me to see that because I was always under the assumption that once that fibrosis was in there, it was there. And they showed, you know, how they sliced through the heart and they did plates with it. And they showed that the fibrotic tissue actually rearranged itself so that there wasn't as much stiffness in the heart. So what you said is true. We now understand that 50% of the heart can actually be rebuilt. It can build itself around necrotic tissue. It can do all sorts of amazing things. But trying to force it by, you know, well, oh, I'm going to exercise for 7 hours a day, it may actually backfire on you. So.
Yep. Yeah.
Great stuff, Dr. O'Keefe. And people should go to, YouTube. And check out.
Yeah, watch it. Yeah, the title of the talk is Run for Your Life at a Comfortable Pace. Okay, Run for Your Life at a Comfortable Pace. Go watch that YouTube video. You'll get a kick out of it.
And in a month, we'll have the book. And give the title of the book again so my audience can look for it.
Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story. Okay. James O'Keefe.
Listen, thanks so much for making time to come on the show today, Dr. O'Keefe.
My pleasure, Carl.
Take care.
Take care.
Okay, stay tuned. When we come back, we'll have Paul Jaminet on the line with us, and we will start to talk about more in the area of paleo nutrition. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
BioAdvantex Pharmaceuticals produces the highest quality pharmaceutical grade in acetylcysteine in an advanced effervescent delivery system. NAC has been clinically shown to improve performance, reduce fatigue, and increase power output. NAC is ideal for the high-intensity interval training athlete as it is shown to reduce respiratory fatigue. BioAdvantex PharmaNac has the highest bioavailability of any supplement in its class. Buy one, get one free of PharmaNac when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the PharmaNac banner. Ad. Pharmanac, there's nothing else like it. Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner. add to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it. You already know about Titan Organics virgin coconut oil and that Carl says it's the best in the world. Titan has raw organic honey from the Brazilian rainforest produced under sustainable and environmentally conscious conditions. It's a creamy, non-filtered, rare honey. Or check out their 100% organic raw agave nectar from the lush, pristine farms in Tequila, Mexico. A naturally low glycemic sweetener. You can trust Titan Organics to provide the best raw products found anywhere. Go to superhumanradio.com and save 15% off any purchase when you use the coupon code TITAN15. That's TITAN15.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinus Stain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
It started.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. And the discussion continues on this track as we are joined by Paul Jaminet to discuss his new book, The Perfect Health Diet. How you doing, Paul?
Oh, hi, Carl. I'm doing great.
Last time we had you on the show, we were discussing the whether or not the paleo movement was sustainable. I guess it is, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to keep growing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a good thing. It really is a good thing to keep growing because the mainstream dietetic community doesn't get it. They are still being influenced by the companies that produce the foods that really are linked to the majority of disease in this country. And this paleo movement is not being promoted by that agenda. It's being promoted by science, science that started with Dr. Boyd Eaton and then through Lauren Cordain and all the disciples who have added to the discussion with their own unique views and research and so on. And so talk about the Perfect Health Diet, first of all. You have a very, very popular blog at perfecthealthdiet.com. What exactly was the goal when you set out to write this book, first of all?
Well, we really set out to share some things that we'd learned. So, you know, my wife and I both had health problems ourselves and resolved them ultimately with diet and a little bit of medical help. But really, we had to fix our diets first and improve a lot of things before we could even, you know, get any helpful diagnosis or treatment from doctors. And anyway, it took us about 7 years after we started the paleo diet to really figure out how to optimize it. We needed to do a lot of research. And, you know, so we had a very long journey ourselves to improving our health, and we wanted to try and shorten the journey for other people. So we wrote up what we learned. And, you know, we've been blogging for several years now, and a lot of readers have gotten help, and we've gotten, you know, we've kept on doing research and gotten a lot of confidence in what we've written. And we think we have a very strong case to make to the public at large, to scientists and doctors, and we hope we can win a lot of people over to the ancestral health movement.
Well, now talk about briefly, so we can get more interest from some of the listeners. What type of health issues were you and your wife dealing with? If you wouldn't mind sharing some of that with us.
Well, in my case, I had a couple of chronic infections, and it led to various symptoms, including rosacea, hypothyroidism, neurological symptoms, memory loss, very slow reaction times, poor balance, and various other,
the types of issues that when you go to the doctor, he doesn't know where to put you, right? I mean, the doctor's going to go, you're fine. Go home. It's, enjoy life. Have a glass of wine, right?
Yeah. Well, there's a whole bunch of disconnected symptoms, but it doesn't fit to a single diagnosis. It's not like, they don't say, oh, you have cancer or you have heart disease or you have diabetes. This is something I recognize, and we've got these protocols for treating it. They said, you're not feeling well. Things are going wrong, but it doesn't fit a named disease, and I don't really know what to do, and I'll do some tests. And the tests, in my case, didn't show much apart from hypothyroidism, and even that was, sort of subclinical, so I had I had some symptoms of it, but I had, my TSH was in the 3s, which they, put within the normal range, which
right.
is a little too broad. So, they're just, they're reluctant to treat without, if it doesn't fit a condition, it's hard for them to justify treatments. And, of course, all the treatments have negative effects, so you don't want to take them, without confidence that, you're addressing a specific issue that they're well-suited toward.
Right.
So the big problem was diagnostic, and, they really weren't able to do that for me. And, of course, in general, they can't diagnose bad diets. They don't know how to
right.
do that. They can't diagnose bad lifestyles. And they're not good at diagnosing chronic infections either. And I've come to believe that those are probably the major causes of chronic disease. And so, really medicine isn't able to address.
Especially since most physicians get no real education in nutrition at all. And if anything, nutrition has been co-opted as a way for companies to have a position in the food industry. And when you think I recently had to help a person who was being put on a feeding tube. And when I looked at the choices of what was going to be dripped into her stomach, I was appalled and shocked. I mean, we're talking about high fructose corn syrup as the main ingredient in what is being given to a person who's chronically ill and dying to save their lives. And then what do you think the protein source was? It was soy protein. When you have people come and talk to you and they say, well, I am with the AD, I'm the American Dietetic Association, I immediately discount everything they say by no less than 90%, because I realize that they have been co-opted by an industry to promote the use of certain foods, and these foods are at the root of chronic disease. I absolutely agree with you. Okay, so I want to touch on something before we go into the break. What is meant by the chapter, how mice and milk, lions and lambs show us the way? Are we talking about the fact that animals, when left on their own accord, know what to eat and we don't because it's bred out of us?
Sort of. That's a chapter from the earlier edition of our book. So we have a new edition out from Scribner, and that material is expanded and spread over several chapters to talk about evolutionary evidence for what our optimal diet is. So we have a chapter on animal diets and what it tells us, and then another chapter on breast milk and what it tells us. But yes, you're right. Animals in nature, and in fact humans also, if we're given, you know, a natural whole foods diet, if you follow your taste preferences and your natural desires, you'll tend to eat a very healthy diet. You know, so you tend to eat those foods in the right proportions. It's when we're eating unnatural foods, you know, that are sort of assembled in a chemistry lab and aren't like natural plants, plant and animal foods, that our taste preferences become untrustworthy. You know, so if you lived in the Paleolithic and you didn't have Twinkies or Doritos around, then, you know, the things that taste good to you would also be the things that were healthy for you. And, you know, so animals in the wild and humans in the wild are led by their natural desires to go out and do work in order to get healthy foods for themselves. And, you know, unfortunately nowadays, food companies have figured out how to make foods that will motivate us to go to the supermarket, but which aren't necessarily that healthy for us. And like you said, you know, in those medical foods, for instance, you know, the same thing with the junk foods in the supermarket, they use the cheapest ingredients, you know, that are often very low quality ingredients, not good for you. And, you know, it is a huge problem, and it does have, you know, major negative effects on health. So in the new edition of our book, we talk a bit about Michael Pollan's food rules and what's right about them and, you know, where they need expansion. You know, but the most important one of those is just eat food, you know, eat real plants and animals and not these purified nutrient mixes. So,
but see, I have a small problem, and here's something that I'm sure that you can appreciate, because I know that you are very technically adept. And that is that quite often when we try to make the message bite-size and palatable, a lot of the message can be lost. A lot of the nuances of the message can be lost. And this note, there are people out there who are saying, you know, it's real simple, folks. Just eat real food. Well, it's not that simple anymore, because there are people out there who would argue that corn is not real food, that would argue that grains are not real food, that would argue that you know, CAFO raised beef is not real food, but these other people who are trying to profit from a simple message, they're not giving their followers the real information they need for optimal health, because the message has to be a little bit more complex. You just can't say it in an acronym any longer. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, that's true. And that's why we managed to write a 400-page book. So, in order to really be optimal, or to, you know, to live up to the title of our book, which is Perfect Health Diet, you know, we're talking about how do you aim for perfection. And, you know, the reason we argue for doing that is that in most diseases and cases of ill health, we don't really know what's causing the disease. And usually it's probably dozens of things together.
Right.
And so the only way to cure them is really to fix, you know, as many little things as you can. And odds are good that if you fix enough things, they'll add up to a cure for the disease.
Right.
So there are a lot of nuances. And, you know, one of the things we say, if all you're doing is eat food, you know, that could translate to a huge range of diets, everything from veganism to low carb.
Which I want to talk about that. We have to take a break. I apologize for stepping on you, and you probably know that I'm not I am a bit of a clumsy host, but we have to take a break, I'm being told. Number one. Number two, I want to talk about veganism when we come back. Because I've had Dr. Lauren Cordain on this show, and we've talked about two watershed studies that show that the vegan diet is no more healthy than the non-vegan diet. And I want to talk about that when we come back. We're talking with Paul Jaminet, and his book is The Perfect Health Diet. You can get it by going to the website, perfecthealthdiet.com, or at amazon.com. But don't be a stooge like me and look at the older book. Get the current edition, which I'll have in front of me when we come back from the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio, where the audience is actually smarter than the host. We'll be right back.
It's legit, you know it's a hit when the Neptunes and the Doggy Dolphins spit. You know he's in tune with the season. Come in, baby, tell me why you leaving. Tell me if it's weed that you
know. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com. Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
BioAdvantex Pharmaceuticals produces the highest quality pharmaceutical grade in acetylcysteine in an advanced effervescent delivery system. NAC has been clinically shown to improve performance, reduce fatigue, and increase power output. NAC is ideal for the high-intensity interval training athlete as it is shown to reduce respiratory fatigue. BioAdvantex PharmaNac has the highest bioavailability of any supplement in its class. Buy one, get one free of PharmaNac when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the PharmaNac banner ad. PharmaNac, there's nothing else like it.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Just want to remind everybody that Age Force is continuing until the 23rd of this month. They're 50% off any patch, stocking stuff for promotion. Every single patch at the Age Force website is 50% off. Give the gift of Age Force. Go to superhumanradio.com and click one of the Age Force banner ads today. We're talking with Paul Jaminet, and he and his lovely wife have authored the book Perfect Health Diet. And a lot of times when we talk about diets, a lot of times when diets are talked about in the media, the vegan vegetarian lifestyle is always thrown out there as the go-to diet for long life and health. Paul, can you tell me why that is just not the case?
Well, I think it's funny. People like extreme diets, mm-hmm. And you know, veganism is certainly that. But also I think, you know, people are very focused on issues like weight loss and so on. And if you put people on a very restrictive diet, for particularly one that's not very tasty, then they'll tend to lose weight for a little while. And, you know, so that may make things look good. You know, but in general, first of all, people have a very hard time sticking to vegan or vegetarian diets, which tells us something about, you know, if they were really making people feel good, people would stick to them.
Right. Good point.
But we also have long-term studies of how people do. There's five that I know of, and basically two of them found that vegetarian dieters have mortality rates about 15% higher than standard American dieters. One of them found that mortality rates are the same, and the other two found they had mortality rates that are 15% lower, but both of those were done in Loma Linda, California on Seventh-day Adventists.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very special community. You know, they're very sociable, they're very supportive of each other, they get lots of exercise. You know, they live in sunny Southern California. They get lots of outdoor sun. You know, so a number of their lifestyle in general is much healthier than other people's.
Right.
And, you know, so I think looking at those five studies, we would say, you know, definitely it's the lifestyle of the Seventh-day Adventist.
Well, just if I was a bookmaker, I'd say throw the two that say it's 15% better and 15% worse out, and what are you left with? You're left with one that says that it's a push. There's no change. It doesn't make you live any longer, and you're not any healthier than the general population. So why put yourself through it?
Yeah, I think it's probably less healthy, actually.
I do too.
Than common diets, but you know, there's definitely no strong reason to think that you know, a vegan or vegetarian diet is going to be health improving for any, you know, if you follow it for any length of time.
So what are the macronutrient ratios that you focus on in the book published by yourself and your wife?
Well, we end up recommending eating as sort of a normal diet, about 30% carbs, about 15% protein, and about 55% fat.
You know, and then, and I'll tell you something why I like this, okay? This is a slightly higher fat intake than a lot of the other quote-unquote paleo-type diets, or am I off on that?
I don't know. It's probably pretty similar. A lot of paleo diets recommend more protein, you know, fairly protein-heavy diets.
Right.
But also there's a strain of, you know, low carb recommendations. So, you know, like Mark Sisson recommends under 150 grams of carbs. 150 grams is about our 30%. You know, but his range goes all the way down to zero carbs. You know, so there's a tendency among a lot of paleo dieters have embraced low carb approaches. And it's hard to eat, you know, more than 25% protein or 30% protein. So, you know, if you're going very low carb, then you'll probably be around at least half of calories from fat. So I don't think our recommendations are that unusual for the paleo community, but they're definitely lower carb and higher fat than the general public.
Well, and what's playing out in science right now is that the closer you get to a ketogenic diet, the healthier it appears to be. We see... we just did a show this week. It was this week, right? The week is going so fast. Maybe it was last week. We just did a show recently that showed that a ketogenic diet in combination with both chemotherapy and radiation therapy, not only does the tumor go away, but it doesn't come back even when the animals were returned to a normal diet. And so we're starting to understand that part of the evolutionary process that made it possible for humans to sustain life completely without carbohydrates, which obviously happened lots of times during periods of famine and ice age and so on, where we genetically had to mutate in order to go, okay, we have to be prepared where there's going to be no carbs in our diet at all for long periods of time. We can't die from that. And well, it actually may be beneficial to spend periods of time in that zone, if you will, of macronutrient ratios.
Yeah, I think so. You know, definitely we recommend intermittent fasting, you know, so some kind of daily intermittent fasting for most people. And we also recommend if you have any sort of neurological disorder, try a ketogenic diet.
Yep.
Because ketones are an alternative way to nourish neurons. And often, you know, people who have these neurological disorders on high-carb diets find they do just much better. You know, because you can have all kinds of mutations that affect metabolism of glucose, but not ketones. And so, you know, there's definitely some reasons to want to be in ketosis at least occasionally for just about everybody. And for some people, maybe nearly all the time. And cancer is a really interesting case. So ketogenic diets are definitely extremely good for brain cancer. We've known that for a long time. We've had mixed results in other cancers. You know, so in test tubes, you know, if you give cancer cells in test tubes ketones instead of glucose, then they tend to die. You know, so there was a lot of excitement about ketogenic diets for cancer in general.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, they're not quite as effective at most cancers in vivo because the cancers have access to the blood. They can pull glucose from the blood. And also there's been some other issues people have claimed. I saw that study last week also, and you know, that's very exciting. So it would be tremendous if, you know, if diet can be really helpful, really effective against cancer. And, you know, getting into that adjunct to chemotherapy, it's been shown elsewhere that fasting, you know, both protects normal cells against chemotherapy and increases the effectiveness of chemotherapeutic agents against cancer cells.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is? What's the mechanism, you think?
Well, it upregulates the kind of stress response,
mm-hmm.
But it also downregulates availability of glucose and so on. So cancer cells have limited metabolic pathways that they're dependent on. And, you know, if you put cells under stress, you know, some low levels of stress can be hormetic. They can actually improve the health of the cell. And, you know, so it looks like the ketosis has sort of a hormetic effect on the normal cells, but it adds to the stress on the cancer cells because there's less glucose available. And the ketones tend to sort of wake up the mitochondria, and the mitochondria are the enemy of the cancer cell. You know, so they control cell death and can put cells to death when they're troubled, and that's what can happen on ketogenic diets.
You know what? I have a theory that I've thought about for a long time, and when I read Bernard McFadden's book, I learned that he was a huge proponent of fasting, especially during illness, and that he claimed that what was considered cancer back in his time, I guess, which was in the late 1800s, early 1900s, could be cured by fasting. And I thought about it. And just what you're saying, because I also know that cancers can resolve and tumors can resolve when body temperature is elevated. And I thought about this linkage, and I thought, you know what happens? When you have a broken handle on a cabinet in the house, you can ignore it for weeks and weeks and months and just go by with it, you know? Then the kitchen catches on fire. This is a big deal. So now when you have to repair the kitchen fire, you also go ahead and you repair this handle that you were willing to live with not functioning. And I think that the body has a variety of different, you know, DEFCON levels, if you will. And so you have these nagging illnesses, right? You have these issues. The body knows they're there. It sees them, but it's just not really. It's like, you know, that's important, but it's not that important. Then all of a sudden, the body is faced with a DEFCON 5 level issue, which famine is one of those things, and which, you know, hyperthermia is also one of those things. And the body goes, okay, you know what? I got to deal with this really big issue right now. So in order for me to do that, I got to go ahead and clean up these little things that I forgot to fix before so that I can then take all my resources and focus on this really big issue. And I think fasting, periodic fasting, which I've been a proponent of for 8 years now, intermittent fasting, put your body into that DEFCON 5 period once in a while, where it goes, you know what, we got a really big problem here, so let's go ahead and fix that door handle while we're at it.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's huge effects, and like you say, if you improve your body's ability to resolve one problem, it'll often improve a lot of other issues.
Right, right.
On the cancer issue, and, you know, there's evidence that, you know, at least 25% of cancer is resolved naturally.
Yeah, right.
And, it, you know, there's a lot of things that go into that. It looks like things like exercise and sunlight exposure and circadian rhythms are very important in cancer immunity. So a lot of the people who actually have spontaneous recovery from even severe cancers, they decided to quit work and go off and go hiking in nature, in the natural parks. And when they come back from a three-month, you know, hiking tour, then they're healthy again. And but in terms of fasting, you know, one thing about cancer is that a lot of cancers are caused by infections, by viruses. There are some bacteria that we know cause cancers, and fasting is very important for antiviral immunity. So when you fast, your cells have these little digestive organelles that go around the inside of the cell and look around for things you don't need, like viruses, and try to digest them to recycle their nucleotides and amino acids and fatty acids.
Now, is this in your humble opinion an intrinsic or extrinsic response? And what I mean by that is it the goal of these macrophages to go ahead and gobble up metabolic waste as a source of energy, or are they going, you know, we don't have a lot of nutrients coming in, we don't have to deal with the stuff that's coming in, we've got time on our hands, so let's go ahead and clean house?
Yeah, so I'm speaking about intracellular organelles like lysosomes.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about autophagy, right? That's what we're talking about. Right,
yeah,
right.
That's right.
Right.
And, it's stimulated several ways. You know, one is by the innate immune response. If your cell detects that it's infected, then it will turn it on. But it's also turned on by, you know, just nutrient deprivation.
Mm.
If the cell is trying to make proteins and it can't find amino acids, then it turns it on. You know, and the thing is, most viruses and bacteria that infect humans have evolved ways to suppress our immune defenses. So when we have these infections, we may not turn on autophagy very well,
right,
using the immune pathways. But if we fast, you know, then we'll get turned on by a different signal.
Gotcha.
That the virus may not have interfered with, and we can clean up the viruses that way.
Okay.
So, you know, it's very good for general health to fast regularly.
Okay, we have to take a break. We've actually gone long. This is a very, very interesting discussion. We're talking with Paul Jaminet. His book is The Perfect Health Diet. And you can get it at the website, perfecthealthdiet.com, or at amazon.com, or where finer books are sold. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Arabian Prince, back with a style of hype. Not slow and low, it's the fast type. Get
done. You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answer to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
It's estimated that the majority of multivitamins simply get flushed down the toilet due to poor digestibility. Well, that's all changed thanks to Age Force. Now you can get 16 of the most important essential vitamins combined with 6 of the most effective antioxidants directly into your bloodstream with the new Age Force 8-Hour Delivery Multivitamin Patch. And for a limited time, get a buy one, get one free on this groundbreaking new patch. This patch is sure to change the way people take their vitamins. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Multivitamin Patch banner ad today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest Protein Bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest Bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest Bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Paul Jaminet. The book is Perfect Health Diet. You can get it at perfecthealthdiet.com. Also, there's a fantastic blog there. I know that my assistant, Ginny Robards, reads the blog and is very, very enthusiastic about the stuff that Paul and his wife are publishing right now. And I think a lot of people can get a lot of help out of this book. You know, it's amazing to me, Paul, that it's amazing to me on one hand, and it makes me wonder. I am not a conspiracy theorist, and as soon as you say that, you almost implicate yourself as being one. You know what I mean? But it's amazing to me that that no one in the mainstream medical orthodoxy is connecting the dots between nutrition and disease, which makes me wonder if they see it, but they don't want to mention it. They can't mention it right now because they're too steeped funding-wise in areas that they would be biting the hand that feeds them, or if there's something more sinister afoot that is, you know, if we don't pay attention to it and we just give people drugs, we'll just try to keep them moving along. And the reason I say this morning I was doing my cardio training, and there was a commercial for a drug that I've never heard before that starts with an X, and I really can't remember it. I didn't have my headphones connected to the TV. I was listening to music, and I remember there was a little print at the bottom, and it said that you can continue to eat the foods that you love. So I'm assuming that it's a new diabetes drug. I thought to myself, how insane is that? That's like saying to someone, you're taking arsenic and it's killing you. This pill will allow you to continue to take arsenic and go through your life.
Yeah, that's a great analogy, and yeah, I think, you know, the whole pharmaceutical medicine model of medicine has proven a failure. You know, 50 years ago, people had reason to be excited about it, maybe. You know, but the reason basically was they assumed the causes of disease are genetic. They're internal to a person. You know, the person's body is itself malfunctioning. And if we can somehow, you know, make an equal and opposite malfunction, you know, we can restore something like normal function. And so let's look at how to manipulate the human body. I think, you know, all these 50 years of experience have shown us, no, you know, in general, bad health comes from things that come from outside the body, like your food, environmental toxins, a bad lifestyle, you're not supporting the normal functioning of the body, infections. And, you know, so when you take a drug which targets one of your own, you know, naturally evolved molecules, you're just doing more harm to yourself as a rule. And maybe the drug will suppress a symptom, you know, so usually the symptoms are generated by your own body's reaction to the disease, you know, like your immune response. So things like coughing or sneezing are an immune response to an infection. You're trying to expel the microbes, and you can suppress them with antihistamines, but that means you're probably not clearing the infection as well. So, you know, you're relieving one symptom, but you're probably exacerbating others. And it's like that with all of these drugs, you know, like diabetes drugs. You know, they may move glucose out of the bloodstream, so you lower your blood glucose, but they're moving it into cells, and so the cells are getting poisoned, you know, by these extra nutrients that they didn't want.
Right.
And, you know, so the pharmaceutical model, you know, it's good at moving symptoms around. It's good at changing cardiology patients into cancer patients or, you know, something like that. But it's not so good at extending lifespan. And there's really little evidence that medicine has really done anything overall for people's health. In fact, when doctors go on strike, mortality rates go down.
Really?
Yeah. We've had strikes in Los Angeles and Israel and in European countries, and in every case, the mortality rate goes down when the doctors are away.
That is kind of funny, isn't it? I mean, it's sad, but funny.
Yeah. And anyhow, so the model doesn't really work, and it's hugely expensive. And, you know, these dietary approaches are inexpensive, and they do work much better. And that's why I think, you know, the ancestral health movement is really going to keep growing, and because, you know, I think people are figuring out that, you know, the way we've been doing things doesn't work, and it's not sustainable economically. And
do we have to go back to Paleolithic humans in order to really find what is healthy for us to eat, or do we just have to go 300 years, 400 years ago? Because I'm assuming that evolutionary pressures that occurred even as short time ago as 500, 600, 700 years ago, and obviously polymorphisms that occur as a result of the region of the world that our genetics evolved under and the foods that were readily available, blah, 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 blah. Do I really have to go back to paleo times, or can I just go back to what my ancestors were still thriving on? And I have this, for some reason, I keep thinking, you know, the 15, 16, 1700s when, sure, infectious disease was killing people, but we didn't embrace taking mercury for things. And, you know, we really got stupid in this, you know, in the 16, 17, and 1800s with this embracing chemical warfare on ourselves. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, we are still evolving today, but I don't think this evolution has dramatically changed our optimal diet, you know. So I think the Paleolithic diet is still a tremendously good diet for us, and I think there are problems with most grains, you know. So a lot of the agricultural foods, they're just not that healthy. In fact, most of them, their natural predators in the wild are grazing mammals, you know, like cows and so on. And so they've evolved a lot of toxins, which are good at sabotaging digestion in mammals, and
right,
those toxins work against us. So, you know, a lot of those grains are not so good for us, you know, but really the industrial food era has really, you know, made our food much worse than it was before. So it's been kind of a a progressive decline in the quality of our food. You know, there have been some improvements. Mainly the improvements were due to greater wealth, so people could more easily afford animal foods, and also invention of things like refrigeration and railroads and so on, so that we could get food produced far away. You know, we can now get fruits all seasons of the year, you know, shipped to us from around the world. So, you know, we have the potential to eat better today than we ever have before. But if all you do is go to the supermarket and buy packaged foods, odds are you're going to be eating a lot worse than anyone's ever eaten before.
Yeah. No doubt. What is your position on milk? I don't know if I asked you this last time you were on the show. I am a huge proponent of, and I do this phasic. I don't drink milk all year long. As a matter of fact, I'm off milk. I'm off dairy now because it's cold weather, but I tend to start to crave it in spring and summer. And I am a proponent for, I only drink raw unpasteurized milk from grass-fed, hormone-free cows that live a natural life, that graze and so on. Do you have, Dr. Cordain and I disagree in this area. What do you think about raw unpasteurized milk?
Well, that's really a tough question because, you know, milk is such a complex food. It has so many factors that affect health. You know, what we tend to advise in our book is, you know, we recommend fatty and fermented dairy foods like mm-hmm. butter, sour cream, yogurt, cheese. And as far as milk, you know, if you could assure it was infection-free, then definitely raw would be so much better than pasteurized or homogenized. And you know, the milk that you get in the store, what they do with it, they take the milk and they separate it in a factory into all these different molecular components. Mm-hmm. They separate the fats from the, you know, the protein, and so on, and then they recombine things. And,
well, in fact,
so
they even siphon off some of the amino acids. Actually, a friend of mine sent me a research piece that shows that American dairies, the dairy conglomerates, if you will, they actually have found ways to liberate specific amino acids that they use then for other industrial processes that are missing in the milk now, and they don't tell you that. It's all part of the as you're the disassembling, reassembling of milk.
Yeah, it's it's amazing what they do. You know, so they put things together to make 0%. You know, that's one reason for the marketing push behind, like, you know, skim milk and 1% milk, 2% milk, is, you know, so that they can free up the fat for things like, you know, butter, whatever. So, you know, they're basically, you know, they take it all apart into its components and, you know, then they reassemble them in new combinations. And, you know, they try and put each component to its most, you know, profitable product. And, you know, but the trouble is with all this processing, you know, it's not natural chemically. You know, there's all kinds of potential for modifications. They're doing heat treatments. You know, they may treat it with, you know, use chemical methods to help separate things. And, you know, so there's all kinds of ways food can be damaged in industrial processing. We have a chapter on that in the new book.
Okay.
So, you know, definitely you would prefer fresh raw milk, you know, but there is a risk that it will carry infections. And
I'm not worried about that. I've been drinking raw and pasteurized milk for now since 1999. I've never even gotten, you know, anything from it other than the vitality, enjoyment, and leanness. I mean, I lean out when I drink a lot of milk. And contrary to what happens to most people when they drink, you know, pasteurized commercial milk. So
yeah.
I'm not worried.
Well,
you can get bacteria from pasteurized milk. A lot of people have died in California from pasteurized milk that carried salmonella, I believe, or something like that. So
yeah, that's true. It can get infected after the pasteurization process. You know, but milk is, you know, it's a tremendous natural food. It, you know, designed to sort of nourish us. It's really just about the optimal composition for good body composition. We have a discussion of body composition in the book. And, you know, so things with the right macronutrient proportions, which milk has, and also that are high in saturated fat, like milk is, tend to generate good, attractive body compositions in both men and women. So, you know, it's definitely a good for athletes, and a lot of bodybuilders have historically drank lots of milk.
Well, no. Actually, a lot of them stay away from it because the rumor within the bodybuilding community is that milk makes your skin thicker, that it stores fat somehow subcutaneously in a more even proportion. As a matter of fact, I've had several professional bodybuilders that have graced the Olympia stage tell me that, you know, when I've told them about raw milk, and they're like, nah, I never drink milk because then my skin will never get thin enough for me to be vascular.
That's true. That's true. If you want to expose everything for a competition, then you need to avoid it. But if you want to be healthy and strong.
Yeah, the fathers of physical culture were with you on that. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll wrap up the interview. We're talking with Paul Jaminet. The book is The Perfect Health Diet. You can get it at perfecthealthdiet.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in Whey Natural USA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WheyNaturalUSA.com. If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today. For the first time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. IntuBurn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, IntuBurn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin-mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta-adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, IntuBurn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net. or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Never before in the history of muscle gauge nutrition have they ever been so generous. And this is only available to the Superhuman Nation. Now get 25% off any order when you use the coupon SUPER. Save on sports performance supplements like creatine, BCAAs, UGMPAC, and their flagship product, Whey Isolate. Save 25% off weight loss products like Trim Down Advance or Gage Lean MRP, or check out their line of multivitamins formulated for men and women. Whatever you want, Muscle Gauge has it. Go to mgnstore.com and use the coupon code SUPER today. Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Paul Jaminet about his book, Perfect Health Diet. Stephen Lay, the director of marketing and sales, just asked me a question, which really is a good question, too. I didn't think about this before. In paleo times, how did Paleolithic humans consume so much fat when the animal proteins that they were eating were probably much leaner than they are even today? Where were they getting their fat from?
Yeah, well, the muscle mates would tend to be lean much of the year, although animals tend to fatten up seasonally. But even in the tropics, they would carry some fat year round. But also, remember, Paleolithic man ate the whole organism, so we have evidence of them chopping up bones to get at the bone marrow. Going back to 1.9 million years ago. So that was apparently one of the first uses of stone tools was to get at
the marrow,
the fatty parts of carcasses like bone marrow, brain.
That's what differentiated it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Australopithecus gracilis and Australopithecus robustus, that's what differentiated them. The gracilis was the one that started to use tools to break open bones and suck marrow out of the bone, right?
Yeah. And another thing that helped was cooking. So if anyone has cooked bones, then the first time you'll usually get a layer of fat on the surface of the water. So cooking can help extract fat that would be hard to get otherwise. There's a fair amount of fat in carcasses,
Well, what about visceral? I know that animals in the wild prefer the cuts of meat that we don't necessarily prefer. And what I mean by that is they'll eat what is known as the offal. They'll eat the viscera. They'll eat the organ meat first. Does the organ meat and the visceral organs contain more fat?
Yes, they do. Yeah, so a lot of carnivores will leave the muscle meats, which are the most protein rich, to scavengers like
hyenas.
Right. And even the hyenas have very strong jaws for breaking bones and getting at the marrow.
Yep.
So there's definitely a lot of effort in the animal kingdom to try to balance out the diet by getting more fat. And, so it's not uncommon that you'll see, the lean parts of a carcass just abandoned.
Yeah. Anybody who's ever hunted in an area of the country where there are coyotes and you find an animal, for instance, like a deer that has been run down by coyotes, what you will always find is their guts and entrails have been ripped out and some portion of the hind quarters may have been chewed on. But the rest of the animal is relatively intact if you find it shortly after the animal being run down and killed. They go right for the visceral organs first.
Yeah, that's right. So, of course, we know of this condition that the Eskimos called rabbit starvation, which is what happens if you're forced to subsist on those lean meats.
And this is what Stefansson experienced when he tried to duplicate the Inuit diet when he was back in New York.
Yeah, that's right. They duplicated it in the Bellevue All Meat Trial.
Yeah, which ironically, Bellevue became a mental institution, by the way. Probably because everybody was eating really lean meat. So, anyway, this has been a great discussion. It's so glad to have you back on the show. It's been too long. I applaud you with the book. I want to also acknowledge your wife, and her name is Xiao Qing Jaminet. Did I right?
Close. Xiaoqing.
Xiaoqing. Xiaoqing Jaminet for her work in the book. Obviously, she's not here in the interview physically, but in spirit she is, because it was her work as well with yours to come up with the perfect health diet. People can get the book at Amazon.com or go to the Jaminet's website, where they blog constantly great things, discussions that will make you think more about disease and nutrition, called perfecthealthdiet.com. And hopefully in the upcoming 4, 5, 6 years, as the medical area of metabolomics explodes on the scene, we'll learn more about why some foods cause disease and some foods actually can make you heal. Paul, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Carl.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
And also we want to thank Dr. O'Keefe for coming on and talking about this important discussion, analyzing why you train, are you training sensibly, is your training going to improve the quality of life and longevity, or is it designed to just grind you up into a ball and leave you there? We must ask ourselves, what is the end point of what I'm doing? And the older we get, the more important this becomes. Thank you for listening today. We'll see you tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.